Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
We have Card Narcs, a very funny YouTube show. Sebastian Davis on here tells all sorts of stories about shaming people. Don't put their shopping carts back. Very funny stuff. And we got the news. But first, we got the Jordan Harbinger Show. The Jordan Harbinger Show, a different kind of sponsor for this episode, the Jordan Harbinger Show. Well, if you're a fan of fascinating podcasts and interesting people, you should definitely check this one out. There's an episode for everyone, no matter what you're into. Jordan talks with Scott Adams about persuasion in a world where facts don't matter anymore. Man, is he right. Or you go inside the dark world of wildlife trafficking. You'll always find something useful to apply to your own life, like routine changes to boost productivity or slight mindset tweaks to change how you see the world. Jordan's a good guy. We've had him on many times. I know the man well, and he's worth a listen. We enjoy the show, and we know you will, too. So you can search The Jordan Harbinger Show. That is H-A-R-B as in boy, I-N as in Nancy, G-E-R, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts.
And now, from the cutting room floor of the 2021 ACE Awards, honorable mention for Invention of the Year, the Peter North Beats Off On line.
An autographed Steph Curry rookie card sold for big bucks, setting a record for highest price paid for a trading card.
Peter, you want to blow up the internet? I get that card. I pay $725,000 for it. We lay it down and you desecrate it.
Well,
I'm just thinking of a whole series of Peter North beats off on. Oh, you know what I mean?
That's good.
We'll go with the Quran at some point.
No, we have to go to exile for the rest of our lives.
You know what I mean? There's a whole bunch of stuff.
That's a terrible idea.
In 11 and a half months, join us for the 2022 ACE Awards.
Could blow up the internet.
That's one way to put it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
One more than that.
That's right.
You could also do a cameo type thing where, like, you send us a picture of your mother-in-law or that ex or the school principal you hated back in the day, and Peter takes care of it. He'll paint it up.
Drawing Muhammad?
That's right. Sebastian Davis is here. He's a producer. He has a YouTube and Instagram at Cardnarcs. I was making a game show out of this. Cardnarcs. And we played that. It's very fun. I'm going to get into that. I'm going to get in the Woody schedule. We found out that you were the contestant I played with.
Back in 2008, I believe it was, Adam. And yeah, unfortunately, bittersweet that we had to come together again through the death of Betty White like this.
Yes.
But yeah, that was quite the time. And it's, I'm sure you've played it as much as we've played it on the air.
We haven't heard it.
So was it fun?
Was it
I, the man who was chosen out of the huddled masses to be on Password,
mm-hmm.
or was it the man with the nasally drum? Was he not giving me the inflection I needed to know?
Inflection.
You know, like I'm sure shots you'd explain fire. When you said south or north.
You needed inflection.
Right, because that's leading you on to thinking, oh, it's the opposite. The guy who went through rounds and rounds of casting, who was chosen out of thousands, or Adam Carolla. No, it was me. I take full responsibility.
So what's up? Because we've all done game shows and we've all experienced something similar, but you tell us.
Well, I've done other shows since then, Price is Right, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, things like that. So maybe it was just nerves, first time being on a stage.
Mm-hmm.
It was funny the whole time I'm looking at Adam because you don't know who your celebrity partner is.
So how did the Price is Right go? Like, we have a bone stock 2011 Ford Mustang, $10 billion. Sorry, no, we have choices. $33,000. $2
jillion. No. So what, no Plinko?
$27,000, $33,000. No, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. It's a weird twist of events for The Price is Right because I was spectacularly drunk when I was on the show.
Nice.
Because it's a 4-hour something wait. You're sitting in a cattle call over at the CBS studios, and I had a little bottle of vodka because it was a day off from my regular morning show, and I overdid it.
So when we did the $1 million password, were you just doing fentanyl at that point, or were you nipping at a flask? It felt So how did the Price is Right work out?
So the way they do that is it's you just listen to the audience. They'll tell you what the right thing to do is, basically, mm-hmm. is they're yelling. It's the hive mind sort of thing. So right. Just don't speak too quickly. Follow with the clues you're getting from them, and you're good to go.
Right.
And that's it.
All right. So we'll circle back to this. Oh, yes, Brian.
I want to ask – I was on Millionaire as well. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering when you were on, who was the host? What was the experience?
It was the
like?
Chris Harrison.
No, not the real.
No. The syndicated – again, Chris Harrison.
Daytime.
RIP. Another victim of cancel culture, I guess. But yeah, he it was easier. It was just follow.
So it wasn't the – imagine if Regis saw you walking out on stage and, oh, boy, here we go. Jesus fucking Christ.
Did we blacklist this guy?
Is there any vetting process? What's
We're looking for North Sebastian was his famous line.
So all right. Go ahead.
Did you win?
Because I was doing all these shows while working on a radio morning show. So my whole strategy was – go for broke. Go for – there's no, oh boy, $50,000 would really make a change in my life, which it would. But it was, I just want to get as far as I can, make as many clips as I can for the show I was on.
Okay.
That
wow.
was the idea.
So
that's a good – yeah.
That's – I like that. Team player. So this schedule for the Woody Show, which you can hear out here at least on 98.7, but it's syndicated. Mm-hmm. What time do you show up to that commercial office building?
They are all in at 3 a.m. because it's syndicated, I think the only show ever that's syndicated west to east. So mm-hmm. you got to be up and ready at 6 for Philadelphia and Pittsburgh and New Orleans, Atlanta, et cetera, et cetera. Luckily, I get to come in a little bit later because I'm just kind of the content producer. Mm-hmm. I'm just there to come in with the bits.
So the mics go hot at 3 a.m.
Yeah, and they're doing breaks for all those different markets. You know, it's a slog.
Until 10, right?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then beyond a little bit, because like we'll have Adam come in, record a piece for us that maybe will air whenever, and he's not getting up at 3 a.m. or 5 what? Or 6 for
yeah.
us, I get, which is totally understandable.
Wow. You're right. I think that is something that's never been done in the annals of radio history, going west to east in the time.
Except for Loved One.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we did go from west to east. That's right.
But we just jumped
Brian,
the line.
Brian, great never, job. Great job. Good point shit out of the gate.
We never got to New York, which was always something that I, well, for you some were, reason, I thought about.
I'm
we
sorry,
were in Boston.
You were in Rochester, which, again, is not New York City, but I used to screen calls for Loveline. I get calls from Rochester all the time.
I guess you're right.
Sorry, buddy. Sorry to remind you of your success.
Yeah, I'll take it.
But that's totally due to Woody being just a workaholic, the host of the show. Get the guys like Charlemagne and Elvis Duran in New York City certainly wouldn't keep that schedule. I talked to a radio friend of mine in Boston, and he says this Woody guy is insane. Like I could never do that. But he just nose to the grindstone, does it?
I think certain places we ran a day delay. Maybe
yes, there were shows.
Others
that
were live.
Marcus
yeah.
said, yeah, yeah. behind because they'd be asking to talk to a guest who was on last night.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it happens sometimes.
Huh, I wonder which markets those were on. I never knew what markets we were in.
Ladies, you're both impressive.
I remember being like Tennessee or Memphis or Nashville or something.
Yeah, all I remember is I think we may have won syndicated show of the year at some point, and it came up. And I said to producer Ann, oh, we get a trophy or something? And she's like, yeah, it's in my office. And I said, which wasn't where we were. That was in the K-Rock building. And I was like, you should bring it in. And
can
she's like,
it?
Okay. And I don't think she ever brought it in. So that's as far as we got with that. I think it's safe to say that producer Ann wasn't really a fan of the show.
I don't know what's in her heart.
Outwardly didn't appear to be a fan.
Didn't wear the merch.
Yeah, that's right. Did not wear the merch. So you can get in a little. What time does Woody, does he go? Now, there's two approaches. There's the straight ahead Bean of Kevin and Bean approach, which is I got to get up at 4. I go to bed at 8. That's just how he rolled. And then there was more the Jimmy Kimmel, Adam Carolla version, which is I go to bed at 11:30, then I take a nap at some point, like or
that's
break it off.
Break it up.
Right. Got a nap.
That's the way he is. He breaks it up, but we have an executive producer who has to be there to make sure that the mics are hot and you're broadcasting the syndicate. And he's 7 o'clock. He's like, he was telling a story. Yeah, Jeopardy came on, so I knew it was time for bed.
Yeah, the risk you run, exactly, if you're an early bedtime no nap guy or girl, is you miss out on pop culture, essentially, everything from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m.
We always joke, like, do you know people like, they eat meals out after dark? It's like a thing people do.
So you came out. Now, when I saw you on stage in 08 with Regis, what was your daytime job?
I was working in Atlanta for the regular guys, formerly of L.A.
Oh, sure.
And it was funny because I Adam Carolla is standing across from me on the stage, and I wanted to say to him, hey, Adam, I'm friends with your old buddies who you used to work with in L.A., Larry and Eric from the regular guys, so maybe go easy on me and screw up the chick that I'm playing against. But I kind of realized, oh, yeah, I'm mic'd up. They would hear that. And it would be a problem.
Be tossed.
Right.
The regular guys back Kayla Sex days, I think.
Mid to late 90s? Because they were off before I got there.
Yeah, I was New York.
Oh,
Conway would have them on.
They would get fired constantly.
Right, gotcha.
And then they would get brought back on again. But I don't know if you can find the KLSX, which 97.1, I guess, which I ended up on, now is a news channel. It's now like KNX or something.
It's KNX.
They're broadcasting, yeah.
They're using
kinda,
the FM feed.
Kind of depressing. But if you could find, Chris, some of the early sort of mid-90s KLSX lineups.
Thank you, dear.
They had but they had Olson and Ober or something.
I remember that.
They had
What's his face? Cato.
Cato.
Mother Love.
That's right.
Ricky Ratman.
The Nasty Man.
Yep.
Like, they had this great... It was essentially a terrestrial radio's version of pro wrestling.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to do an FM talk format, and we're going to take a bunch of people who you've heard of, like Cato Kalin and Susan Olson. From the Brady Bunch.
Yeah.
And we'll just take these names that you've heard of, and we'll just put them on.
Mm-hmm.
Which it never really...
So you're saying that Cato Kalin was the David Lee Roth of taking over for Howard Stern before that happened.
Yes.
Years later. Like, here's a name.
The Nasty Man, Mother Love. I'm trying to
think of the Nasty Man end up doing like late night infomercials for Girls Gone, like Ecstatic?
That's the poor man.
The poor
man.
Oh, you're right.
He had a Bikini Beach party.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yes, he did Loveline first many, many years ago. But
you guys still close?
You know, it's an interesting thing, which is I did the Man Show for 4 years, and then I left the Man Show, and it was very successful. So they went, oh, we're going to do another season of the Man Show, and Joe Rogan and Doug Stanhope took over. And people always kind of wanted me to have a beef, you know, but I was always like, it's a gig that they took. Where's the beef? I don't get, like, when somebody... You know, it's sort of like the office people who get pissed off at the employee who's new, who works really hard. And hey, you're making us look bad. Well, how about you make yourself look good, lazy douche, and do something? Like, you have a beef with a person, you know, he did it, then he got fired. He got fired, you know, he was warned a lot. And eventually, you know, remember why he got fired?
I remember there was something involving Bean's house.
Yeah, he gave out the address to Bean of Kevin and Bean at 12 at night or 11:30 at night. Of course, Bean was established. He goes to bed at 8. And a bunch of fans showed up, started like lighting fires in the front lawn and stuff. And so then he got fired. He got fired for that.
Is that why Bean moved to Washington?
To get away.
To get away from the doxers?
And then Ricky Rackman took over. And then he did that for like 3 years. And then I took over. And the poor man had a beef with me. I'm like, I used to listen to the show. I'm a fan of the show. It's an opportunity. Yeah. What's this have to do with you? You got fired years ago.
As it pertains to the Man Show, you should be laughing all over the bank because I'm sure you got paid that fourth season. I don't think
I got paid.
You're the co-creator of the show.
Oh, Brian, I'm going to sit down and talk to you about Hollywood one day. Yeah.
I'm looking at, these are a couple, these are not names I recognize. Billy Juggs. Dusty Street.
Oh, Dusty Street. Yeah.
This real person?
You should take over Billy Juggs's.
Thank you.
He goes by William Juggs now.
William J. Juggs.
Billy with an I.
Who else? Conservative host.
Jim Ladd. I don't remember him being associated with KLSX.
Jim Ladd did the rock.
He was not on KLSX.
No, this is supposed to be a KLSX lineup.
He did headsets on KLOS.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Always wore sunglasses. I've never met a more sunglassed man than Jim Ladd.
Is he now kind of a conservative Christian station talk host guy?
Help us out, Sebastian.
Try to figure that one out.
That's a good question.
Walter Sabo?
No,
I don't remember
that one.
Cato, Kalen, Susan Olson, Ricky Rackman, Gino Michelini?
Gino Michelini.
That sounds familiar.
You remember Gino Michelini?
I don't.
Gino Michelini's thing was the 5 o'clock funnies on KLOS. He would play stand-up comedy. It was such a weird kind of a, I don't know, an innocent time. Mm-hmm. I could remember, you know, driving my pickup truck home from the construction site on Friday at like 4 o'clock or something, like Gino Michelini, and it's time for the 5 o'clock. I guess it was 5 o'clock. Yeah. 5 o'clock funnies. I'd be coming home and I'd be like, oh boy, I get to hear
some stand-up.
Rich Scheidner doing stand-up for 2 minutes.
So you think this is a vestige of days past because Uncle Joe Benson was playing the 5 o'clock funnies well into 2018.
Oh yeah.
Oh really?
Oh yeah. Because they went from KLOS to The Sound with us.
Yeah, it's an interesting, for those who, radio's not really going to be a part of, you know, many young people's lives today. Like it was a big
He's just
part
kidding,
of ours.
Sebastian.
No, it's quite
well,
all right.
I said many, not all. A couple of losers out there still listen to our show. No, it was
losers.
Like, no, they'll listen to it. They'll download it. It'll be in a podcast form right. And they'll hear who they want to hear. But I mean, it was a weird era where you had these relationships with David Viscott and Michael Jackson, South African right. Michael Jackson and Gino Michelini. And you knew yeah. all the burner, Mary Turner, like you knew all the handles.
Wow.
For
I didn't
all
know Mary
these
Turner
people.
had an alias.
Yeah.
And to Adam's point, the story that the guys who were the regular guys would always tell about Adam is they'd say, yeah, back when we were in L.A., Adam and Jimmy, they'd come to all our remotes and show up and shake our hands and want to be around us because they felt like we had this – we were like their sort of, mentors in the business and
check everything out. You know.
I don't remember going to any personal appearances with the regular guys.
Hoping for an autograph?
No, but I do remember a couple things. I remember John and Jeff.
Sure.
They were on late nights.
We're
KLSX.
Two guys who don't like to sit in traffic.
We don't believe you have to put the toilet seat down after you make number one. We're two guys who may miss the hamper with the sock and not pick it up.
Yeah. Play by their own rules.
Yeah, they were like real, real straightforward. Yep. And
I believe, I don't know if this is urban legend, but our friend Randy Wang would do a great impression because John was kind of in charge. He was like the number one guy. And at one point, the legend has it, he would tell Jeff during commercial, Jeff, when I'm talking, the hand will go up. Now, when the hand is up, Jeff, you do not speak. When the hand goes down, Jeff, you may speak.
I was going somewhere with Jimmy and he called in to John and Jeff with his, I'm trying to think of the comedian.
Wallace?
Yeah, Wallace.
Oh, Steve?
God. No, not Steve.
George. Steve
George
is a
Wallace.
Football player.
He called in with the George Wallace black comedian accent and dialect, and they were like, come on, this, and at some point, they were like, this is a white guy. And at a certain point, I was listening on the radio, and they went, okay, all right. And they go, oh, I got it, because they're convinced he was white. Wasn't really black. They go, if you're black, let's hear you rap.
Oh my God.
And they're both thought that they'd blown the lid off this thing because it's like they knew some information that they were going to get a definitive thing. Yes. Made me laugh, but I like racist humor.
There are so many moments from that show that I hope just get lost into the ether. If anyone wants to run for city comptroller.
Nasty Man and who was it? Was it Olsen and Ober?
Yeah.
And then Ober was the guy from MTV's Remote Control.
Oh.
Ken Ober.
Ken Ober.
Yeah. Oh,
right.
Cool.
Yeah.
Do you remember Gretchen and the Lukes? And Sammy Phillips. Hi, guys.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Sammy Phillips.
The whole crew.
Anyway, sorry, Sebastian.
Thanks for reminding us of a bunch of
weird
stuff.
Shit.
It's interesting.
I love the history of radio.
Me too.
And I don't know. It doesn't really have a place, you know. It's sort of in the ether, you know. You can't really watch reruns of it.
Yeah, almost no one was recording tapes unless it was Howard Stern.
Right.
Right. Yeah. We don't – I mean, you occasionally find stuff, but it's really weird when you look back on just even TV appearances from the 90s and stuff. Like, that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Like it never happened.
I think famously – Brian, this may sound familiar to you.
Sure.
I feel like the first Super Bowl that they taped, they went over the tape with something else
next year. And there was a family who had the tape, and they were trying to extort the NFL for XYZ money. NFL said, nah, whatever. We'll just go back. We'll use the radio broadcast, kind of pick stuff from NFL films, and told those guys to kick rocks, basically.
So, and now they'll pay big money for anyone who happens to have home video footage or whatever.
Mm.
So family, I wonder how the family had it.
Just recorded it off, you know, like one of the first ever Betamaxes, basically.
Wow. And NFL taped over the Super Bowl.
They said because tape was expensive back then. They didn't know what they had.
It's weird that this, you know, this has happened in my lifetime.
Yeah.
It's crazy,
man. I think it's
a
big deal.
All right. So, Sebastian, how did the whole Cartnarks thing come about?
I always say I wish it was like I got bitten by a venomous cart or my family got hit, you know, Batman style. But no, it was just me sitting in the office at the Woody Show with the guy who works with us, Greg, and we were talking about people being dicks and just not being thoughtful. Classic stuff, picking up after your dog, re-racking weights at the gym, not holding the door open. And then the shopping cart thing was one where we were like, well, we can attack that at the source. You know, with someone littering, you can't – it happens, but you knows when and where. In a parking lot, it's super easy. So I walked out with a camera and just said, hey, why'd you leave your cart there? And instantly, just the deflections and the excuses and the threats turned violent very, very quickly. And so we said, hey, we got something here. Let's kind of build on it step by step. And I just started adding uniform. And we've got these little – I brought some for Gina because I know she's a big fan.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm a huge fan.
Stickers. I've got a bulletproof vest I wear that was donated to me by a police officer in Baton Rouge after a man in Texas pulled a gun on me when I asked him to put his cart back. It's been just a slow build these past 2-3 years into an international phenomenon.
What is the general reaction? I mean, obviously you got to edit some stuff and we got to watch some stuff.
Does anyone ever say,
oh,
my bad?
Reaction?
Yeah, they do.
There's got to be plenty of those people, but is it?
It's not the majority.
It's not the majority.
The most typical reaction is they pay somebody to do that.
Uh-huh. So they go, it's not my job.
Yeah, not my job. And do you work here to me?
Mm-hmm.
And which I say, you know, it's all just deflection tactics. It's they want to talk about something else because they want to, number one, tell on me to a manager who doesn't exist. or they want to say, well, you know, and we've done tons of these analogies where, well, it's somebody else will be here. They pay people to do this. And I always, you know, try to throw something out there like, well, yeah, they pay people to clean the toilet in the store. Do you go in there and take a dump on the seat? No, because there will be someone. Eventually, someone will follow along. Whatever. And then they talk about, oh, I've got cancer. No offense, Bald Brian.
Not an excuse, Brian.
Yeah, please.
My boyfriend broke up with me. Was one of the great ones ever.
I'm right here.
Wow.
it's so much fun and sad to go down the list because they're always the same excuse, but a certain different variations therein.
I saw a guy say, "I'm going to wait with you, and I'm calling the police," which I'm sure you've gotten more than once.
Yeah. Oh no. They call the cops a lot, and I've only talked to the police 2-3 times because my strategy or ethos really is I don't want to waste any more time of anybody else besides you, the person who left your card out. So when they go to get a manager. First off, I know what the manager's going to say. He's going to say, hey, get lost.
Right.
And the police are going to say the same thing. So I'm not going to waste more of their time just by sitting there for 20 minutes until, you know, so-and-so position of authority shows up.
Brian, you work at a supermarket.
I did a couple tours.
You have thoughts?
What theater were you in, Ralph?
Sebastian, I would never attack your credentials, but do you ever work in a grocery store?
That was my first job as a 15-year-old.
See, now you know.
Bagging groceries.
Now he knows.
All that stuff.
That's what the funny – my perspective on it is not so much – they pay people to do that. However, where were you in the world? Were you in the part of the world where you had when you were doing the grocery store?
It was bagging / getting carts.
Where in the world?
Oh, Nashville, Tennessee. Yeah,
okay,
Nashville,
so
Tennessee.
You know that like it's kind of – as I have observed, it's nice for the baggers or whoever's job it is to go out and collect those. That's a perk of the job.
Take
you get
a
to
walk.
Go outside, avoid the customers. And now, if you're attacking people who leave the cart in the handicap thing or in between the space or right. an inconvenient place that's going to inconvenience a car or person, mm-hmm. by all means, those people are sociopaths. But if they're leaving a cart like on the planter, you know what I mean? Like it's out of the way.
This is the problem. There's always these guys. We have 1,000 different.
There's these guys. I'm the expert.
Well, yeah, people will complain, oh, why is this wheel sticking on this shopping cart? Well, because some jackass decided that he wanted to throw it up in the mulch, and now it's rolling through mud and dirt and all this other stuff. And what problem? Again, Brian, I know
those
you're
carts are indestructible, and you know that. You know that.
I know you're a good person
at
heart.
Jackass.
But when you see the sign above the cart return that says, please return carts here, blah, blah, we're not responsible for damage, et cetera, et cetera. What do you think they mean by that?
Well, of course, it's the best place to return is at the cart return. I totally agree with that. But if it's inconvenient for some reason, there are places where it makes perfect sense.
There's some reason being I'm done with my cart and I don't want to deal with it anymore.
Wow.
No, that's not the inconvenient reason. Of course, you're done with your cart. But I'm not saying to leave it in the middle of the parking lot. That's a foul.
I'm not saying throw it through the windshield.
Well, Sebastian is saying, what is the scenario where you don't have 45 seconds to push it back.
What's the dire emergency?
Baby's in the car. I don't know. Maybe they got to get home.
I'll give you one. The only
45
time.
45 seconds, though?
I don't know.
I'll give you one.
No, I mean, I'm asking you to provide one.
I just did. Well, the baby's in the car, kid's crying, kids be changed. You got to get home, change the kid. Got to go with the dog out.
Let's say you got 45 seconds.
You're getting a gift, Ryan.
I've got a Lazy Bones on board sticker for you to slap on your car there. Well, here's the thing I always say with let's take the kid example, because we hear that a lot. And we don't bust people when we see small children with them, because we know that's sitting there right in their back pocket. That's the hot excuse they've got. Mm-hmm. Is you got the kid into the cart somehow, right? Why not just reverse that process? In other words, unload your groceries, walk your cart back to the cart return. As your kid, you walk back to the car just like you did when you got there, and voila, problem solved.
That's a good point.
Look, there's extenuating circumstances on occasion, but it's hard to make an argument that people couldn't do
in
it.
In general.
And that's why when I bust people for not returning their cart, Adam, I always sit there and listen. And they'll say, I'm busy. Okay, what's going on? Tell me. And it's never – as a woman in Compton in. I talked to, she's like – I got to get this food home to my mom. She's starving.
But they got time. Well, I have a couple of things, a couple of thoughts. One is, as Brian was alluding to, going out and collecting the shopping cart as a break when you've been bagging.
Absolutely. That's a perk of the job. Sebastian knows.
Well, look, you call it a perk, but let's really examine that, because I've had a few of these shops. And everyone needs to think about these kinds of – think about your job. Okay, it's how you know you have a shit job.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Because, like, when I carpet clean, it was back-breaking, sweaty, grueling, with the steamer, not the fucking buffer thing, the steamer. And then at some point, it'd go like, and it meant we're out of water. And it was like, oh, I get to empty the solution tank, which was filled with greasy shit. And you pull the hatch on this catch tank and the greasy hot mess spills into a 5-gallon bucket. And then you drag that 5-gallon bucket to the toilet in the back and you dump it into the toilet. It gets all over the side of your leg and everything. That was the perk.
Why?
That was the break. You got a break.
You got a break
bending over and back breaking, whatever, to empty the solution tank in a toilet of a Sizzler and Arleta. That was the break. When I worked at McDonald's, throwing away the filet of fish that it gathered in the heating tray, like I ate them out in the by the dumpster, but it's like, oh, I get to stop standing over this griddle and searing shit. I get to walk outside and go to the dumpster. Mm-hmm. When I'd work construction, be like, go down to the Home Depot and pick up 3-day labor. It's like, oh, God.
Me.
This is a vacation.
You have to
think about your job when those types of things that sound torture to normal people become a shining light, a beacon of hope in your job. That means you have a shit job.
No, you're right. And you just answered the mystery for me. Why would anyone in prison want to get a prison job for 13 cents a day?
Right.
And that's why.
Other than being just
being in
just
a lot, hot,
prison.
Steamy laundry room or whatever.
Here is a, well, you know, I have this thing where it's like, here's how you know you're in a bad neighborhood. Mm-hmm. You know, you have the billboard that has the Mexican lawyer that says with there's 19
Accidente
with 19 eights, right, is the phone number, right? Right, that's bad. We'll replace any tooth for 19.95. That's
don't abandon your baby.
That's a bad neighborhood. Yeah. If you live in a neighborhood,
do abandon your baby. Safe surrender zone.
Oh, right. Yeah.
By the way, this is next door to you, Gina.
Uh oh.
It was many years ago, though. It's been gentrified since. If they have the shopping cart, mm-hmm, and the shopping cart has a piece of rigid conduit duct taped to it that's 3 inches higher than the door.
Yeah, you can't take it out.
That's a bad sign for your neighbor. They don't have that, the Gelsons in Brentwood. They trust the bitches over there.
Okay.
You can't get it out. It was called Mainly Seconds. It was on the corner right next to your house. It was a pottery place.
And
if,
awesome.
And if you don't believe me, it was a pick and save or something at some point. And if you don't believe me that it was a shitty neighborhood in, mm-hmm, a bad place, the guy who shot Enos Cosby, the guy who executed Enos Cosby, worked there.
Holy
right
shit.
Next to
what?
Where you live, Gina. That could have been you.
And I got a lot to think about.
Go get carts.
Shit.
He worked at the Mainly Seconds.
Wow.
I have goosebumps.
Pottery place right on the corner of Magnolia there.
Fuck.
That's where
lock
the
my
guy
doors,
who
hold my kids tight tonight.
Cosby.
Oh, Jesus.
You know what was a good perk of the job as a bagger? Was going to get more bags, because you got to go into the back, load up the thing with the bags.
Spend a few minutes in the walk-in fridge.
Yeah, exactly. Cool off. Our owner was such a weirdo that he demanded all the bags be facing the same direction.
I like this guy.
I know. It's so inefficient.
Did he make you count the blueberries?
It was so inefficient. But we had to take every 50 bags.
The Van Halen rider.
Yeah, right. You know what I mean? You could never just slide in all the bags. God forbid they face different directions every 50 bags.
And to rock it back to Brian's point, because I hear this a lot, is, well, it gives, you know, the kids something to do. Is they still or you're eliminating jobs? That's the one I get. You're eliminating jobs by being a cart narc.
I think you created a job for yourself.
Well, that's one. But number two, they still have to go to the cart corral to pick up the carts. You still get that 15, 20 minutes. You're just not traipsing through the mulch and in between the spots.
Right.
Is the guy.
If all the carts are together, your job is done.
Chris, I need to find out if the guy who executed Enos Cosby is still in the joint.
At the pick and save.
Yeah, which was a Mainly.
At the John's.
It was a Mainly Seconds. No, it wasn't where the John's is.
So where is it? On Laurel?
No, it's the corner on the side street. I don't know, whatever. I think it's maybe your street, right there, man.
It used to be like a dental village, but now the dentist office is all boarded up.
No, you're looking at the mini mall.
Oh, I love that he knows what I'm talking about.
I grew up in that neighborhood.
Okay.
It's right on Magnolia, and it's one side street, I guess it'd be north of Laurel Canyon. Is that north?
No.
No, it's not north?
East.
East, mm-hmm. Then east.
How many directional references are in your syndicated morning show?
East and
Magnolia
west.
Is north.
One small street north of Laurel Canyon.
Okay. Well, that is next to my house, so let's just leave it at that.
Why'd you say no?
Because I thought you were talking about the dental village.
No, you were talking about the dental village. I said it wasn't
that's the dental village.
That's
what I thought
it's
you were talking
about.
One
street north of Laurel Canyon.
First of all, I don't know why you're listening to me. I told you that.
I'm listening to you because I value your input. Or
why
at least
would
I
you
did.
Do that?
At least I
told
did.
You we exit the gate that way. I don't know what we're directing.
I'm always interested when people just go, no. And then I go, all right. I feel weird now.
But in that moment, I really feel like I know what I'm talking about. But 3 seconds later, I realize I'm a fucking idiot.
Well, then go maybe.
Maybe.
It's one street north of Laurel Canyon. I believe it's north.
You're right.
Toward your house, right?
Yes.
And there's a little weird corner market thing there.
Yeah.
I don't know if they sell like outdoor furniture or something now or something. What's on that corner?
Sorry, one more local reference. It's not far from the Golden Chopsticks.
No, that's the other. You're on Laurel. That's on Laurel Canyon.
Yes.
It's one small street north of Laurel Canyon.
Okay, I really...
On Magnolia.
Okay, I really thought Laurel ran north to south, but I'm...
Oh, you just said it ran east to west. Okay, then it's west.
I'm going to
west. Sorry. All right, that's
right.
I was listening to you. All
don't
right.
ever do that.
It's west or north. I don't know. What's the Ventura Freeway? Don't you go north on the Ventura Freeway?
But it changes from east to south.
It's confusing. All right.
Now,
west.
This is we'll fun.
Is he out of prison yet?
No, we bought you some time.
He's serving life.
Oh, good.
Okay. Time has passed.
But don't you get to... Don't yeah, it must be west then. Don't you get to in California after you do 25 years? You know, he's been in for a long time. Mm-hmm. I mean, that he shot him in like 96.
Yeah, he admitted it on his own accord and then just stopped any appeals and just says he wants to do the right thing. And
wow,
yeah. Yeah, he stopped that in 96. And did he work at mainly seconds?
And do they have the bars on the carts?
And do they have the bars on the carts? And what the hell is that place now?
Yeah, the murder was in 97.
Oh, okay.
97, yeah, so.
Yeah, tragic story. All right. Well, we got another. I think we have a vid to play.
Yeah, we got some clips here.
We got a cart.
Well, we played one of the clips you sent us, but this is a video that we took off
of
YouTube, too.
Where are you at on this one?
This is actually close to those cross streets. You were just this is
my Ralph.
Sherman Oaks Ralph.
Uh-huh.
Or Sherman Oaks / Van Nuys right in that area. Mm-hmm. And this is a chick who and you'll see it. She could have walked 10 feet behind her to the cart return or just slide that cart right between those two spots as Bald Brian would want you to do.
I never said that. Double words, Neil.
You know, because when you get – because your kid – when the next person who pulls in that spot, their kid opens the side door into the cart. Oh, screw them.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So let's see what happens there.
Oh, man. That's not where the carts go.
Right in between the two cars.
This is between the spots. Do
you work here?
Ma'am, I'm with the cart narcs. Okay. What we do is we narc out people who are being big old lazy bones and not taking their carts back.
Are you taking video of me?
Well, yeah, that's how we can show other people. Man, you can't take
swats at you.
You can't film me without my permission.
Let's not get past the point. The point is you didn't take your cart back.
The point is that you're filming me without my
permission. Why am I doing that?
Because I'm a documentary filmmaker, and I'll tell you right now. I don't give my permission.
That's great, but why am I doing that, ma'am?
Because you're an asshole. There's no rules.
No, she's filming you.
I have to put my cart there.
I know it's common decency.
You lack common decency.
Ma'am,
what are you going to do with the video?
I'm going to help show.
You might notice, as a documentary filmmaker, her phone immediately comes out in vertical mode.
Oh.
You know, just like you see on all the big, the BBC, Richard Attenborough, that whole thing.
Well said.
She's driving a Prius, too.
That's
right?
Shocking, right?
This is a worthy. That say I have to put my cart there.
I know it's common decency, but you lack.
You lack common decency.
Ma'am,
what are you going to do with the video?
I'm going to help show people how to behave properly.
Are you going to put this on YouTube so you can make money?
Ma'am, I'm going to put it wherever I please. The point is,
I see. You're going to use my video wherever you please so you can make money?
I will admit that you acting like this and being kind of a B-word is helping me out because
I'm being a B-word?
Well, your voice is raised and mine's not.
No, you're not because you're being a pig. Okay.
I was a pig to enforce rules and be clean.
I didn't try to steal your phone. I'm trying to stop you from picking a video of me.
Well, why am I doing it though, ma'am? You're not addressing the root cause of your laziness.
Now she's taking the car. Going.
She put it right in between her car and another car.
That's a handicap spot.
Wait, that's worse.
So she's going.
But you don't understand why they have the blue spot there. It's to help people get out of their wheelchairs and stuff.
Oh, she left it in the handicap lane.
She's going back into the store.
She's going into the store to tell on me. She takes the cart with her, but not all the way because she's not going to be told. Leaves it in right next to the no parking sign.
She parked it right in between her car and
the other car. I see it every day.
How does she get into her car with
that
car?
Well, they move it up a little bit so that she can get her door just open far enough. And they slide on in.
No,
and you might also notice in this video is that as she's dumping it into the handicap access area, she almost hits a blind guy. Like he's walking. And again, the dude in the white and the gray shorts, he's kind of walking through, doesn't really know where he's going. This is so typical is, as you hear it there, is she wants to talk about the videoing,
mm-hmm.
which apparently she's an expert lawyer because that video has been up for 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever appeal she's filed has not gone through. And I keep trying to take it back to, let's talk about the cart. No, you're an a-hole. You're a piece of S. You know, F you. I know what I'm doing.
You both be right.
I do.
People pointed that out as well, Brian.
I'm always you know what I'm amazed of? How much of what lies beneath is so close to the surface with so many people. You know, you see it on a lot of commercial flights now. You see women like this. People, it's like, how do you get from zero to exceedingly agitated over innocuous shit. Like, literally everything is a button push. It has nothing to do with shopping carts. There's issues with stepdad or whatever it is. Like, and why are people wearing this stuff, like, out on their sleeve? You know, you see people crying where they don't need to cry. Like, all this emotion that is completely misplaced has nothing to do with the person she met 10 seconds ago, the basket with the wheels on it that you could happily just push 40 feet that way. Like, none of it makes sense. I remember doing a remod on a woman's house once, and at some point she started crying in front of me. She's like, broke down and started crying. I don't know. I was talking about the crown molding or something. Something was going wrong. I just got done raping her, and she had this whole emotional. And she was just like crying, and I kept looking at her going, I don't know you. I don't even know you. Like, I don't know you. Why are you doing this? Yes. Like, this is, we don't know each other well enough for you to have an emotional breakdown in front of me. But it's now, I feel like it's on, everyone's on their last nerve and they're all willing to go there immediately. You know what I mean? There's more Americans that will get out of their car, have a pushing match, have a screaming match. Look, it is your time.
Yeah.
It is your life. This is a stranger. I'm sure it reminds you of something.
Yeah, it's not happening right now.
But it's not happening now. Do we need to know about it?
I can quote a very wise man who says that all roads lead to narcissism. And I think that's what Kardnarks has exposed, because you guys brought it up earlier. What percentage of people just say, you're right? And it's 25-30%. And it's – even though I've done this hundreds of times, it impacts me to my core. I'm like, what? Yes! that's a real emotional response for me. Like, I can't believe you just admitted to it. Said, what, you know, when you're right is the line they use a lot. It's amazing. But then you get like this lady who wants to scream and cry about her documentary filmmaking abilities and then go tell the manager as opposed to just walk the cart back.
Hit a blind guy with a cart.
That too.
Real quick, Emmy just sent me breaking news. I know exactly where this Mainly Seconds was. It's now the Dollar Tree.
The Dollar Tree.
So we can put that baby to bed.
Which Max Zapata says was on the corner of Magnolia and Laurel, but it's not.
That's not where the Dollar Tree is.
That's not where the Dollar Tree is.
We got to move on.
I did the two biggest streets, but it's like, it's Bellingham.
But we've been – I'm glad you narrowed it down to Laurel and Magnolia, Chris. Our discussion was what's the side street where it's a block off. That's what we're trying to
– Sorry, I missed that part.
Trying to narrow down. Gina's right. It is your direction.
Somebody
though,
grab
right?
that.
Gina's right. Although she told me –
But I
Laurel
still
Canyon
think,
ran the wrong direction.
I thought Laurel Canyon's north and south, Magnolia's east and west.
Let's ask Sebastian about north and
the
south.
The problem is when the problem is when you get on the goddamn Ventura Freeway, which goes right over the top of Laurel, you head north.
Understood.
Which is always the I've lived in the neighborhood my entire life. It's always confusing. Mm-hmm. How can this be
it
perpendicular
changes.
To a thing that's going north and south if it crosses it and you're going north when you get on? But anyway. All right. So the killer of Ennis Cosby worked at Mainly Seconds, the pottery place.
I don't like that.
That was my takeaway from that tragic chapter.
Thank you.
All right, let's take a break. Sebastian, hang out, and we'll do the news right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral, weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gina Grad. Stuff they saw on TMZ. Joe Biden, Kamala. Meet news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
We got some hot Cuomo news. This is not about being Italian and apologizing for hugging. This is the real story that we were waiting for. He won't be charged over his handling of COVID deaths in the nursing homes last year. The Manhattan District Attorney's Office gave his attorneys the news on Monday. His lawyer he said he came under fire early in the pandemic for ordering seniors to be discharged from the hospital, returned to nursing homes, even if they didn't test negative for COVID-19. And I know it feels like, yesterday and also a million years ago, but remember, we didn't have a vaccine then. At the time, he said he was trying to alleviate stress on hospitals by moving less severe cases out. But months later, news broke that his office had underreported nursing home deaths by thousands.
It's such a interesting time that he's basically doesn't get busted on the handling of the seniors who died, but the handling of the ass cheek of the chick on the elevator. That's what brought him down.
How close did you brush her breast?
Right.
Yeah.
It was her back.
Oh, jeez.
Just the middle of her back.
Yeah, he stood behind her and, like, dragged his finger down her spine or something.
I mean, that's creepy, but he's acting like a full-on Grim Reaper with the elderly.
Yeah, the problem with creepy is, here's the thing about other crimes. So, murder is murder, and arson is arson. Creepy is in the hand of the beholder.
Oh, yeah.
We've because if you like that dude, yeah, then that's the furthest thing from creepy. Right. That's a pretty good, that's pretty cool.
It's a pretty good Monday.
And if you don't like him, then it's super creepy.
Yeah.
So how does the law work this one out? Now, the answer is nobody does it. But it creates a lot of weird gray area, which is if you are cool dude and everyone likes you, then it's not creepy to most women, and then it gets super creepy. And the problem with creepy is the guys who are creepy are always the last to find out they're creepy.
They're creep blind.
They don't know it. As a matter of fact, there should be some sort of a creepy index.
Okay.
And you could assign a number to every guy, and you would then know what your place was at work.
How far you could go.
Right.
With
so we're
touching,
going,
with touching the shoulder.
It's the Franken Weinstein scale.
Hmm. Explain.
Well, from Al Franken to Weinstein.
Oh, to Weinstein. Weinstein. Oh, Franken Weinstein.
Frankenstein.
I thought this was like turn of the century
Mary Shelley
psychologist. Who, yeah, I didn't know if there's something existed. Yes. So meaning they're guys that are creepy. Mm-hmm. Now, it's a combination of male pattern baldness, a waistline,
sure,
you know, like a physicality, the car they drive, how they dress. Sometimes it's a musk, like do they wear a certain cologne or some cheap aftershave or something like that.
Do they have a cell phone clip on the outside of their belt?
That's right.
Cell phone clips, frames on the glasses.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Women factor in. There's probably 1,800 things that factor. It's not just jawline. You know, it's a whole bunch of mixed in with you guys are always, you always got your radar spinning around. Mm-hmm, you know, the guy comes in, says what he did over the weekend. It's not something you would want to do, or, you know, he saw a movie you don't like, or he likes some, you know, like some stupid band that you hate. You know, it's the clit killer. But the guy never knows it.
Right.
So that guy goes to work, and then you come in with your sundress, and he goes, someone's been working out. And he goes, ugh.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't know it.
Right.
He doesn't know where he stands.
Right. He doesn't know where he stands. And that's why I think everyone needs a number assigned to them, because you don't see it in the mirror.
Well, you know what? That's such a great point. I thought of an even better index. We have Cuomo, who we're like, no thanks. But we even had Daryl Hammond in yesterday saying, when Bill Clinton steps into your space, it doesn't matter, gay, straight, man, woman, everybody wants to have sex with him.
Right.
And it's an older politician that I, you know, if you just saw him walking down the street, you might give him the time of day.
Right. So Cuomo thinks he's in the Clinton hot tub.
Yes.
And so he's dragging the finger along the spine and rubbing the pat in the belly, the officer that walks by and all that kind of stuff, thinking, well, Bill Clinton,
right?
This is business.
What's the difference?
It's a compliment, right?
Well, Adam raises a great point here. There's metrics in sports, you know. Mm-hmm. We know that Steph Curry's an MVP, and the guy playing sixth string for the Clippers isn't. But they can look at the numbers. They can look at the percentages. The creep, they don't have that number, which is what you're saying we need.
And not only that, everyone thinks they're Steph Curry from the three-point stripe, and they are not. They're shooting up a lot of air balls and getting it swatted, and no one knows. The creepy guys don't know they're creepy.
Right.
That's now the cool guys know they're cool. The creepy guys don't know they're creepy.
Because if they knew they're creepy, they would stop being creepy, right?
Or they would like knock it off with the weird ponytail that's greasy,
they
or whatever.
Stop doing
weird
the thing that makes
things
them creepy.
They do.
Yeah, yeah. Hugs.
They would know. Yeah. So they need to be informed.
That's a good point.
You know, there was a Brian, you may remember this from the morning show, but I believe we talked about a service that basically said to people you got BO got bad breath.
There was also a rejection line. Remember the girls would give out the number that said, like, sorry, this lady's not interested?
Oh, right. Yeah, right. So we need somebody to inform creepy guys they're creepy so they know for them.
Carolyn, you're it.
They're trying to keep a job.
It's just a creep clerk, a guy who walks around in a blazer and, pardon me, sir, I need to talk to you for a moment.
Yes.
Well, it has to be, it's going to have to be a guy. Like, it's going to have to be like a cart narc, because when you, when a girl tells a guy they're creepy, then she friend zoned him. He's an insult, an incel, and he goes and shoots up a school.
Yeah.
So it's got to be a guy.
Like,
carefully.
Serving court papers.
Yes.
I mean, like, subtle.
Yes.
Not embarrassing.
Yeah, this is not personal.
No offense, Sebastian. The jacket made it work.
This runs parallel to another thought I had, because I was on a flight with a woman and she was just coughing on me. Her ass was so big under the seat it was rubbing up against me, and she was using a seat cover to change the air above her because she didn't want those germs. Mm-hmm. I couldn't then go and click for the flight attendant to come because they'll know who called me out. But if there was just a roving person who, you know, listening to music on your cell phone without earbuds, that whole thing, who would say, yeah, pardon me, I need to talk to you for a minute.
Was the Clooney movie Up in the Air?
Up in the Air.
Yeah,
that's how we run it. Guy outside firm comes in, we call you in, we sit down.
Sir, you're fired.
We talk about your creep factor.
Yeah. That's good.
And then you know where you stand.
Third party.
Speaking of grocery stores and potentially being creepy or weird, yesterday at Trader Joe's, I was there to get groceries. It's been since New Year's, blah, blah, blah. I'm in the frozen section looking at the frozen chicken nuggets for our 5-year-old daughter, and I put my hand in warm air. Mm. And I'm like, that's not supposed to happen. Or maybe there's a newfangled thing where it alternates, but that seems really weird. So I went to the manager. I'm like, hey, I'm sorry. Maybe it's normal. Maybe you know about it. But your frozen section is putting out warm air. She's like, oh, go check it out. Is that weird to just walk up to the manager and be like,
no,
you're a customer?
No, it
felt weird doing it.
Did you ask her out after?
Yes.
Okay, well, maybe.
How low did your finger go on her back?
So he's off.
Yeah.
All right.
So we're done with him. Now, someone who is getting put away, and tell me if this name sounds familiar, because she was in the zeitgeist and then she was gone. Elizabeth Holmes headed to prison. Theranos, the
out
one with
blood.
The
really
low voice. So a California jury has found the Theranos founder guilty on 4 counts of wire fraud against investors. She was acquitted on 3 other counts of wire fraud against investors and 3 counts of wire fraud against patients. She's 37. She's the one who claimed to have developed technology that would run numerous medical screenings with just a drop of blood, a few drops of blood. And that story was documented in a great you saw it, I'm sure. The inventor. The judge has not set a sentencing date, but yeah, it was a scam. It was like a new Silicon Valley scam.
I think she's poised for a comeback.
I agree. She's got a cult of personality.
I think she's going to go in for a little while. She's going to rearrange a few things and she's going to come out. That won't be the last we've heard of her.
No, I think you're right. But she got me thinking about, and I know Brian's a real snob. He only cares about movies. He does not care about limited series or TV, no matter how amazing it is. Mm-hmm. I beseech you, please, if you can hear my voice, watch the Dope Sick series with Michael Keaton, Rosario Dawson. Holy shit. I can't believe they didn't get a cease and desist. It's about the Sackler family who created OxyContin and what it did ravaged. Specifically, they released it into farming and mining communities specifically to get those people hooked on it. It's a 10-part limited series. We finished it last night. You'll never take a drug again.
I'm not here to talk about myself, but if you guys want to know where all the answers in life lie, and maybe we've all experienced a lot of this with COVID, you have like basic logic or basic knowledge or basic whatever, you will outdo the experts. Mm-hmm. You know, so I don't know anything about infectious diseases, but when they were saying no laying down on the beach, I was like, that's retarded. I don't know anything, but I fucking lay down on the beach, sunshine, outdoors.
Offshore breeze.
Whatever. You know a lot of the stuff you know. And I always used to tell Dr. Drew, who prescribed many of these things, I would tell him in the mid-90s, mid-late 90s. I go, this is big business for the company. There, you got people got 100 pill a day habit. You're moving units. And he would always go, no, they don't want that. They do not want that. And I would go, well, why wouldn't they? I mean, I'm not making a judgment here. You got a product. You make a product. I take two every 7 years. But if I took 100 a day or 40 a day or whatever it was, that'd be a big marketing for them.
Pill mill.
And he was like, I absolutely do not want that. And I was like, why not? They make something. That's just
exactly what they wanted.
Replace it with hot dogs. They'd like everyone to have the hot dogs.
Samsung hates selling TVs.
Yeah. Right. And, that's not the business they're in.
And he was a physician. I wasn't. He kept just telling me, no. Now he does now say yes. But I'm saying, you don't need to be an expert. You can just sort of do a little homespun math.
Yeah.
Like, this seems like good business for them.
And, not to go down a rabbit hole, but, we talk about junk food or whatever. The whole point is to get you addicted. The whole cigarettes, the whole point is to get you coming back for the product, no matter how fucked it makes your life.
Yeah.
So anyway, really great series, and we'll check in on Elizabeth.
It was funny you mentioned that, because 10 years ago, I ran into this by accident. When the census was coming around, I was living in a house, and I'm on the air, so let's screw with this guy. Let's see if he'll come in and party, because I had some girls living with me. It's like, hey, man, yeah, there's three people that live in this house, and we have a lot of parties here, bro. And he's like, yeah, you got any oxys? It's like, oh!
Wow.
Straight to it.
I was like, all right, where did that come from? And that was, 11, 12 years ago now at this point. But he was like, yeah, usually I go downtown to pick them up, but if you got some out here in this neighborhood, I would love to stop by more often.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah.
All right. And I had this on audio tape. And we played it on the air with the regular guys at the time. I sent it to Andrew Breitbart, who, when he was still alive, and he was, oh, I'm going to run with this, and so on and so forth. And then he did the back math. He said, hey, wait, you work for the regular guys on the radio? Is this some bit? Are you effing with me? On the phone to me, he's yelling it to me. And that's kind of the thing that sort of taught me a lesson is don't ever say I'm doing this for the radio.
Right.
Because they'll say, oh, it's a bit. No matter how real it is in real life.
That makes sense. And that's exactly what they did. So they started with a 10 milligram or whatever oxy. They went up to a 160 milligram pill.
Wow.
I mean, it's really very, very enlightening. But moving on to the Golden Globes nobody is going to.
Wait.
They have them?
Let me tell you why you're not going to see it.
Oh, no. It's like this weekend.
Remember how we talked about it last time and they said, like, don't worry. You don't have to submit yourself to be nominated because, like, everybody's backed out on the Golden Globes and nobody wants to submit themselves. So it's still going to happen with no press, no celebrities, no red carpet, no audience. So I'm not sure who's attending. The event has already been canceled by NBC after the Hollywood Foreign Press Association was criticized for not having enough black members, having no black members. According to the press release, only select members and grantees will be allowed at the Globes, provided they have proof of vaccination, a booster, and a negative PCR test. The release didn't mention if it would be live streamed or if anyone would even know it ever happened.
The only thing interesting about the Golden Globes was the celebrity showed up again drunk.
Yeah, the Ricky Gervais opening.
Does everything that existed 10 minutes ago need to be done away with? Because I feel like that seems to be the theme, which is it's not so much. Again, removing the Civil War generals is one thing, but we're on to boulders now. Like, is it just something existed and it's got to go? Because I feel like that's the general theme.
Yeah.
We've known about it's the foreign press or whatever. I don't know. Are they discriminating? Are they discriminating against black folks being nominated or showing up or winning Golden Globes?
I think it was there weren't enough members of the Hollywood Foreign Press
voting.
Who were black.
Right. But there's always this thing which I always push back on, which is it's the same as, we need the fire department to represent the community. Why? You think they're racist? You think they wouldn't save you? They wouldn't get your fucking cat out of a tree? Well, what is it? They wouldn't vote for a black film? Or I feel like there's many, many instances of, white people or predominantly white groups voting. LeBron James wins MVP every year. So says a bunch of old white sports reporters or whatever. Don't we just do that? The Academy Awards?
Moonlight.
Why do we need your own voting? Isn't that sort of a weird racist thing? Like you couldn't appreciate or enjoy or respect or vote for? Yeah. Anyway, it's all it's fucking retarded. Anyway.
So, who wins? Who knows? And who knows if they're even going to care? Yes. Because remember, Tom Cruise gave his Golden Globe back, and remember that whole thing. So
I changed the world.
Yes, right. Yes.
I would love to take all the statues and all the horses and all the generals and all the Golden Globes and all the awards that everyone's given back and just get them together and make a mainly seconds type store in your neighborhood. And
that's good.
Sell that. There's got to be a market for that stuff.
Hello. I live right there. I'll go.
We'll call it runners up.
That's
good. Yeah. Hey, guy in Dubai who used to have the Aston Martin DB5. I got Tom Cruise's Golden Globes over here, and I'm ready to deal.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it'll be a big draw in my neighborhood, too.
Does Tom Cruise give them back? Or does he just sort of get him out of the
checking up on this
mantelpiece? Like, who does he? How
puts
would
it behind
one?
The door.
Who would one return these things? Oh, I guess you'd bring it to a fire department.
Right. Yeah. You say surrender.
Right.
Well, let's
or
go.
Church.
That's right. Let's visit the other side of the spectrum. The Taliban has ordered all retail shop mannequins to be beheaded because they are sinful idols.
This can't be true.
This is 2022 now we're in. Mm. Afghan women have faced a savage crackdown on their freedom and education since the Taliban came back into power. The New York Post reports that brutal, oppressive, and sexist laws enacted by the group in the 90s are being rolled back into place. Now, the speakers of the Taliban were like, no, we're not going to do that anymore. Well, they're rolling back. Mannequin heads got to go. Women face being murdered for showing too much flesh, demanding basic human rights, and having affairs and being rape victims. The Post report goes on to say that when the Taliban stormed across Afghanistan, it was reported their militants were already kidnapping children as young as 12, and that a charity also recently issued a warning as baby girls as young as 20 days old being offered up for marriage.
Ugh.
2022.
It's an investment.
2022. This still goes on.
Yeah.
Were you ever horny enough as a young man that that the sight of a mannequin head, where you're like, oh, God, you put that away. I can't see that.
Sinful she-devil.
I've got, oh, yeah.
Now, do they behead it or do they unscrew the head?
It says to behead the mannequins.
I think beheading is just taking the head off. Yeah. Yeah, whatever method you choose.
Not in a dramatic chop.
Yeah, not a chop necessarily.
But then, look, I don't want to explain how to train young Taliban fighters, but
please don't.
If you had some, first off, this is cub Taliban work. You know what I mean? This isn't for the senior ranking.
No, it's your merit badge.
Yeah, these are your boots on the ground.
This guy the guy who manages the Gelson's not out in the parking lot collecting the cards.
Right. This is your Eagle Taliban project.
Just to bring it around. You know what I mean? These are young cub
Greenhorn,
Taliban guys. You dispatch these guys to remove the heads from the mannequin. And you could, do it by sword. That's a lot of chopping. I think there's probably a quick release on the back, or you unscrew it or something. Fine. Mm-hmm. So that's what they're dispatched to do. And then at some point, you abduct a nun or female CNN reporter or something like that. And then you go, we're going to behead her. And then this guy gets up, the cub guy gets behind her, starts twisting
looking
and
says, like,
Boo, what are you doing? I'm just doing what you,
that's what I've been doing for the past year and a half.
North Greek, unleashed in the East.
He's trying to unscrew it and she's complaining. I just feel like it's a dangerous message.
Right. So, because that they're going to get fired from the Taliban.
Yeah.
For gumming up the work.
It's just bad technique.
I understand.
That's all.
So we should call it something else.
Well, what I'm saying is whatever method, you have to chop the heads off the mannequins.
Oh, I see.
Because that's what we're practicing.
Right.
Exactly.
So it doesn't go the other direction.
You develop poor habits in practice.
Well, I'm seeing an opportunity for like a Weird Science Taliban edition where they start with the mannequin model.
Yeah.
Through science, make it come to life so they can kind of practice all the way around.
Gina, you know, like when you're used to driving your car
every damn night.
And the headlights are a certain place on the knob.
Yep.
And then you jump into a rental car and you want to turn the lights on, your hand goes to the same. That's what I'm talking. This is that.
Now I get it. I'm totally famished. I'm backwards. I don't know what's up, what's down.
It's muscle memory. You've trained these young cub Taliban guys to twist the head off of a human body.
That's
kind of muscle memory.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
All right.
Let's talk about a new way to dispose of a body. The body of Archbishop Desmond Tutu, he died the day after Christmas. He will undergo something called aquamation, which is an increasingly popular and environmentally friendly alternative to traditional cremation methods since it uses water instead of fire. It's called alkaline hydrolysis. They call it aquamation. So here's how it's done. The body of the deceased is immersed for 3 or 4 hours in a mixture of water and a strong alkali in a pressurized metal cylinder heated to around 300 degrees. The process liquefies everything but the bones.
That's not that hot.
Yeah, it's really not. My oven goes much higher than that, which are then dried in an oven and reduced to a white dust, placed in an urn, and handed to relatives. Aquamation is reported to use 5 times less energy than fire and reduces a funeral's emissions of greenhouse gas by 35%. Right now, not allowed in many countries, but...
Not allowed?
Yeah.
Why not?
I don't know. There's lots of ways to bury and get rid of people here that aren't allowed. Like, remember we were talking about the
Viking funeral?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, there's these different ways.
Tree burial.
That's what I was going to say.
Standing up one.
Yes.
Right?
The tree pod. There's a way to fully dissolve the body, like down the sink. Mm. There's the new one is you can get pressurized into like a diamond and like wear it.
The tree pod.
Oh, and a firework.
There's my construction background speaking, but the grave digger, which has now been replaced by like the backhoe, takes up a lot of room. Then there's a caisson rig. That's just a drill bit.
Okay.
It's just a big ass drill bit. Okay. And they have all different widths, but human body only need 2 foot. Mm-hmm. You just drop that caisson rig, just drill it down, big auger bit. You see them by the sides of the freeways and stuff.
Right. High rises.
Yeah. And you drop everyone in vertically. Mm-hmm. You got a lot more bodies be put in that Forest Lawn Cemetery if everyone goes vertical.
It'll be an actual forest lawn.
You put the tree on their head.
Yeah.
We're done.
Not a bad idea, really.
Not at all.
All right, we're not going to do better than that. Let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad!
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Well, last but not least, there's LifeLock. Scareware is a scam where pop-up ads scare users into thinking their computer has a security problem, and the fix is to buy their software. Then they access it and steal your info. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. Every day we put our info at risk on the internet. In an instant, cybercriminals could harm your finances and your credit. Good thing there's LifeLock. LifeLock helps detect a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number, for sale on the dark web. If they detect your information has potentially been compromised, they will send you an alert. It's LifeLock, right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but you can keep what's yours with LifeLock Identity Theft Protection. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year with promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or head to LifeLock.com and use promo code Adam for 25% off.
Well, you can check out Cartnarks. You can check out the YouTube and Instagram at Cartnarks. And, of course, the Woody Show. I think it's syndicated, so just figure out where
definitely
it's syndicated.
Definitely here in L.A. and then 20 or something other cities. And always you can check the podcast, too. Just go to thewoodyshow.com.
So you can go to amcroll.com for our live shows coming up at Brea February 6th. Bill Shatner and Dennis Quaid. We're doing a couple shows with them, so you can check that out. Until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Sebastian Davis, Gina Grad, and Bull Bryant. Say it. Mahalo. We don't believe you have to put the toilet seat down after you make number one.
You can watch this episode of The Adam Carolla Show at youtube.com/Adam Carolla. Follow the show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. Catch Gina Grad on the podcast Easy Listening, Bald Brian with Film Bob, the rest of us on the water cooler, and get your tickets to see Adam Carolla live. Coming up in Brea in February, get them now at adamcarolla.com.
Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at Menards.